Welcome to the Ask the Expert Show with local experts in the fields of legal, health, financial, and home improvement. Join us every week for educational information on subjects such as personal injury, family law, home care, tax relief, wealth management, plastic surgery, and air condition repairs. Now, sit back and get educated by some of Milwaukee's finest experts in their field.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of Ask the Experts right here on the Big 920, thebig920.com, streaming nationwide and beyond via the iHeartRadio app. My name is Mitch Nellis, a.k.a. Thunder, your host of Ask the Experts, and we are introducing a brand new guest this week on Ask the Experts right here on the Big 920. Alan Olson, Attorneys for Employee Rights, is with us today. Alan, good morning.
Good morning, Mitch. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here, and great to meet you. Great to have you here and part of the team.
Thanks for having me this early in the morning.
Yeah, it's always you got to balance that early in the morning. How newsy do you get, and how much fun do you have? Unfortunately, we won't have any fun watching the Packers game because there's no Packers today.
That's right.
But are you a sports fan at all?
I am.
Are you cheering for the Vikings or are you cheering against the Vikings?
I'm for Vikings this year.
Okay, yeah. You're intrigued to see where this ride goes.
I am.
That's fair. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're your first time here on Ask the Experts, and we're excited to have you here.
Well, it's great to be here. I grew up in Waukesha County, and that's where our law firm is located. And we've been in practice since 1989. Been 29 years already, and we specialize in employment law. So we represent folks who need to recover their loss of pay and loss of benefits, typically as a result of a wrongful discharge or a disability.
And so, having been there for 29 years here locally in Waukesha, I assume you grew up in Wisconsin or you went to school in Wisconsin?
Grew up in Waukesha County, went to UW for undergrad and Marquette for law school.
So where do your loyalty? Are you a Badger? Are you a Warrior? Are you a Golden Eagle?
I support both.
Okay. Good to hear. So let's talk a little bit about what you do more in depth. You're in employment law, and what does that mean? What does it mean that you're in employment law? Do you represent employees in dealings with companies? Do you represent companies in dealings with employees? How does that work?
We represent only employees in their disputes with their former employers, typically.
Okay. And so I assume that means you represent the gamut of all sorts of, white collar, blue collar, factory to office work to all sorts of stuff.
We really do. The clients that we represent, they range from someone who works in a factory to judges, doctors, accountants, salespeople, even judges.
Oh, wow. Even judges. How does that work?
That happens sometimes as well. And so
I'm sure there's some interesting stories there.
There are.
So tell us, take us a little deeper and tell us a little bit about how someone would start the process. And I assume most of the time it's because of someone believes in wrongful termination or harassment or something like that. So if I believe I've been terminated wrongfully, what do I do?
So the someone who's been terminated wrongfully, and we receive phone calls all day long and answer a lot of questions of folks. Most employees in Wisconsin are what are referred to as employees at will, and it just simply means that the employer or the employee can terminate the employment relationship at any time for any lawful reason. And so most terminations fall into that category, and there are only very limited circumstances under which you would call it an unlawful termination.
Okay. And so what are some of those circumstances that could exist?
Typical examples would be discrimination or retaliation. And the most common areas of discrimination would be based on protected status for age, race, gender, disability.
I guess I have to ask because it jumped out to me. Is sexual orientation a protected category? Because I think there's so much in the news these days about, you know, what pronouns we use and all sorts of stuff. Is that something that's protected?
Well, in fact, Wisconsin is, being a very forward state in its politics, has a state law that protects individuals in that category based on sexual orientation. Federal law does not per se protect that category. However, one caveat, recently the Seventh Circuit, which is the federal court in this area, found that the Title VII, the federal law that protects against discrimination, does in fact apply to that category, sexual orientation in limited circumstances.
Interesting. Alan Olson's with me today with Employee Advocates, 262-785-9606. That's 262-785-9606. You mentioned at-will employees, and I've heard that my entire career, that Wisconsin's an at-will state, and I think we've all heard that, that you can be terminated for any lawful reasons. I'm interested in what that means in terms of non-competes, because I think you hear from industry to industry, and certainly being in the radio industry, you know, we sign a non-compete. But if we're at-will employees, how does a non-compete come into that, and what is the premise behind a non-compete?
The feedback I hear from people who call is they're under the belief that non-competes are really not enforceable in Wisconsin. That is not the case. There's been a shift, actually, in the last 10 years, and they are, in fact, enforceable if they are drafted properly. So when we analyze a non-compete for enforceability, we're looking at several different factors to determine whether they are going to be enforced.
And so if there's a non-compete in place, you know, is it up to the employee beforehand to figure out if that's something they want to sign? And then once it needs to be enforced, once, you know, you take a new job or whatever it is, do former employers really go after people for non-competes?
They do go after former employees all the time. And oftentimes, you mentioned the signing of the non-compete. Oftentimes, the employee is not feeling that they're in a position that they can refuse to sign it. So they typically take the attitude they'll sign it and then they'll deal with it later if they have to. And so if an employee leaves, they go into competition, and the former employer challenges them, we take a look at that non-compete. We're usually looking at the geography of the non-compete. We're looking at the time period, and we're looking at the content of the restriction. So usually, all other things being lawful, a two-year restriction will pass muster. With respect to geography, the non-compete should be limited to the area in which the company is doing business. So, for example, if it's a Wisconsin company, but it limits the individual from working throughout the Midwest or throughout the United States, that may be overly restrictive, and that could be shot down by the court.
So you could argue against that?
We would argue against that non-compete as being unenforceable. And then looking at the content of the non-compete, for example, if it restricts individuals from calling on their former clients or customers, that may be narrowly tailored, and that could be enforceable, as long as it doesn't go beyond the work and the customer contacts for the employee being restricted.
So I'm guessing when you're looking at these non-competes, almost every single circumstance is different. There's no blanket statement. This is how a non-compete is enforced, and this is how it isn't. But everything depends on what the employee's next steps are.
Well, that's right, and that's what makes our job at our firm so fun and interesting. Every single case is different. It requires a different analysis, different fact pattern, and different advice.
Alan Olson's with me on Ask the Experts this morning. Visit employee-advocates.com. That's employee-advocates.com. That is the website. They will help you solve your employment problem. Just reach out to Alan and his team. Tell us a little bit about the firm. Tell us how you got started, where the name Employee Advocates came from. Just a little background on that stuff.
Well, I started the firm in 1989, actually, and decided early on in my career, actually in law school, that I wanted to focus on employment law because that's what really sparked my interest, helping employees and kind of the David and Goliath story of putting people on an even playing field with the large corporations that, you know, have a lot of resources and the ability to fight back. So we've had a lot of fun doing this over the years. I started out on my own, and over the years we have continued to practice employment law and honed our practice and our skills, and now we have five lawyers in our firm, and we all practice employment law exclusively for employees.
And being located in Waukesha County, do you focus on Waukesha County, or do you work all over the state, all over the metro Milwaukee area? What geography do you guys cover?
We actually have clients throughout the United States. We practice, I would say, primarily in federal courts. However, many of our cases are brought in administrative agencies that enforce the anti-discrimination laws, as well as the state circuit courts.
So not necessarily just Wisconsin cases, but and so when you're talking, you talked about how you got started, and it was kind of this David versus Goliath, and you liked that idea, that concept. How much of your work do you find is still that, you know, that single employee against a bigger company, or is it more, you know, it could be an employee against any size, you know, whether it's a local mom and pop shop, or is it, you know, we're standing in the iHeartMedia Milwaukee Megaplex. Well, iHeartMedia is a national company, or Spectrum, which was Time Warner Cable, or AT&T, or, you know, we could go on and talk about how many huge Goliaths there are out there. How much of your work is David versus Goliath, and how much is just, I was wronged by my employer?
The employers that we sue are as varied as the employees that we represent. In other words, we are suing companies of all size and all types, the largest corporations in the world, and some of the mom-and-pop shops as well.
He is Alan Olson, employee-advocates.com. That's employee-advocates.com for your employment help. 262-785-9606. That's 262-785-9606. When we come back, we're going to continue our talk with Alan, some of the examples he's seen over the years, what makes a good case, what doesn't make a good case, and what employees should be looking out for in general. Coming up, this is the Big 920, thebig920.com, streaming nationwide and beyond via the iHeartRadio app. You're listening to Ask the Experts. And welcome back to Ask the Experts here on the Big 920, thebig920.com, streaming nationwide and beyond via the iHeartRadio app. Mitch Nellis, a.k.a. Thunder, here with you on this beautiful Sunday morning. How about this weather, folks? A week ago, it was 1 degree out. And now it's, I don't know if it's hitting 50 yesterday. I don't know if it hit 50 yesterday. I don't know what it's going to be today. Alan, I can't explain Wisconsin weather.
This is gorgeous. Love it.
It is. Alan Olson is here with me this morning. He's with Employee Advocates. It's employee-advocates.com, employee-advocates.com. You can reach him 262-785-9606. Alan and his firm work representing employees throughout the state and throughout the country when they're talking about protections, either from termination, from wrongful termination, and then what next steps are in that process. So I kind of wanted to delve a little bit deeper into that, Alan, and step by step, if I'm in an uncomfortable situation at work, whether I think there's been harassment or discrimination, whether I've been terminated or I haven't been terminated yet, but I see the writing on the wall. Take us through what an employee should be doing, whether it's documentation or whether it's a negotiation or whatever it might be. What should an employee be doing to start that process of protecting themselves?
Well, first thing an employee should do is, if they've got a conflict, try to resolve it internally. sit down with the individual that they are having the problem with and try to talk it through. That conflict might not be resolved that way, and most companies have some other avenue through which the dispute can be resolved. It may be the HR department, could be a hotline, could be an ombudsman in a larger firm. And so, you know, utilize those internal sources before going to an attorney with a dispute.
Talking about using internal sources, does it make sense to have a, you know, we talk about, you know, do you have your work wife or work husband or a best friend at work or that sort of thing? Does it make sense to take other people at work who you trust and bring them into your confidence? Or do you want to keep, you know, if you really feel like you've been wrong, do you want to keep that separate?
Well, I mean, we all look to other individuals for support and confidence. And sometimes you get into this mindset, it's us against them. And so, you know, you have to decide how you're going to discuss confidential matters. You only want to share that, obviously, with people that you trust. And I think rumors can be the downfall of a lot of individuals in a workplace. So I think maintaining confidence among only people who you trust and have a need to know is a good practice.
Okay, so we're in that process, and let's say we've gone to HR or we've gone to our boss or called the hotline, and we weren't, we didn't get the result we were looking for. Then what? You know, if it's reached the point where we think we need to at least talk to somebody for some legal advice, what's my next step?
So calling a lawyer, typically an attorney who specializes in employment law is going to take those facts over the phone and say to the individual, you may have a claim here, your rights may have been violated, and this is worthwhile talking about it further in a consultation, and we'll schedule a consultation.
Does that initial phone call, is there a cost to that? The initial consultation, is there a cost to that? How does that work?
Most lawyers don't charge for the telephone consultation. I would say it's very typical to charge a flat fee for the in-person consultation if the individual can't be properly advised over the phone and it's necessary to go through a more detailed analysis or review documents, for example, in the office.
Okay, so I whether I've decided to make that call for that consultation or not, and I've talked to HR and whoever, at what point during my employment, if I feel like something's not right, whether it's, you know, whatever is going on, at what point is it my responsibility to start documenting things, and how much does that help my case?
I think documentation helps the case, and employers are going to be documenting also. They've been told that if you have a employee who has performance problems, that you need to document that leading up to the discharge. So sometimes a manager will have an improper motive, and they will document things against an employee, even though it's in violation of that employee's rights. An employee should be doing the same thing, documenting so that when you look back over a period of 6 months, you can establish a timeline and look at significant events and use those to the extent they're legally significant.
Okay, so I feel like I've been wronged, and I have the initial phone call with you, and I set up a meeting, a consultation. What am I bringing to that meeting? What am I learning during that meeting? And what are we looking to gain together from that meeting to move forward?
So the typical things I like to see would be, for example, a check stub that has some useful information in it. I like to see the employer's handbook that's got some internal rules that are set out there. It may have a grievance policy in it. I want to see any emails or performance records. I'd like to see or hear any audio recordings. Incidentally, in Wisconsin, there's what's known as a one-party consent rule. So it is lawful for an individual, for example, to record a conversation if they're being discriminated against, for example, or their rights are being violated. that employee can actually record that conversation without
really?
The employer knowing about it.
Wow.
You can't take a device and leave it in a room and record other people and walk out of the room. But if you're
you're part of the conversation.
Exactly.
Wow.
Now, if someone were to call in from another state in a conference call and you're sitting in Wisconsin with someone in Wisconsin, that other state may not have that same law, so you have to be careful about that. But if you're in Wisconsin, you can do that.
Very interesting. So that's a lot for a person to think about. You know, that's a lot for. I'm guessing that you've had people come into you who have none of that, who don't have. You know, they have the pay stub and they have the employee handbook, but they haven't been documenting things. They don't have audio recordings, I should say. You know, but they just feel like, hey, something went wrong here. Something was amiss. I was mistreated. I've been wronged. How do you go forward with that conversation?
So we go through a lot of background information. How long has the employee been there? What has been their progress in the company? How have they been rated by their manager and performance appraisals? Have they been put on a performance improvement plan? In discrimination cases...
We all love the PIP, by the way. Everybody loves the PIP.
Everybody loves the PIP. In discrimination or retaliation cases, we're looking at comparators. In other words, how is the employee treated in comparison to other comparably situated employees with respect to discipline or whatever the adverse action is? Usually the employee doesn't come to us until they've suffered an adverse action, something significant like a loss of pay or loss of benefits. And frankly, most of the time, we don't get involved until the relationship is already blown apart, typically after the discharge. There are times, though, when we're able to get involved during the relationship and we can actually be successful in salvaging the employment relationship. One instance of that could be, for example, someone who believes they're being discriminated against on the basis of disability. And there may be an opportunity there to accommodate that individual in the workplace. It's just a matter of perhaps educating the employer and finding a reasonable accommodation for that employee.
And that leads me to my next question I was going to ask. We're talking with Alan Olson today, employee-advocates.com, employee-advocates.com. How often during this process are you able to save a relationship? Or how often do you, after that initial phone call that you have with someone, or even after initial consultation, do you recommend or do you find out that there's a negotiation taking place and that there is a happy ending, that maybe it was a miscommunication or a misunderstanding, that things can be salvaged before they get into the lawsuit stage?
By the time the employee contacts us, almost always it is a relationship that is beyond repair, and we need to look at ways to mitigate the loss in a way of separating, perhaps putting together a severance package for the employee, and if negotiations are not successful as a last resort, then we would file a lawsuit.
Again, he's Alan Olson, employee-advocates.com, 262-785-9606, 262-785-9606. You've been in the business for 29 years. I'm guessing you've seen, I don't know if you want to say you've seen it all, because I'm guessing every day you could see something brand new. But where has employment law gone over the past 30 years? You know, what did you see more often than not 25 years ago? And what are you seeing more often than not these days that employees should be aware of?
We're hearing a lot in the press right now about sexual harassment and, you know, the Me Too cases. And I find that interesting. We've been dealing with that for the last 29 years, and it's been something people have been dealing with really since the beginning of time. It comes down to basic self-respect or respect, I guess, among other people and between coworkers. So those are issues that we've always dealt with, and it's interesting to see how sometimes the press or shifts in society or politics can change an emphasis in a certain area. I would say one area that is burgeoning is sort of this perfect storm created for individuals who they may have FMLA leave, family medical leave, under state or federal law. They may have a disability as well, and they may have a workers' compensation injury. And those three events combined will create duties for the employer that are very specific and sometimes overlapping and sometimes onerous or burdensome for the employer. And sometimes the employer, through lack of education or unwillingness, is unable to properly protect that employee. And so we're dealing with oftentimes picking up the pieces on those kinds of cases.
It sounds like there's never a lack, and you know, for better or for worse, there's never a lack of wrongful terminations or of employee situations that where employees are being wronged. And I'm guessing some of that time it's the employers thinking they're doing what's right for their company, but that doesn't mean they're doing things the right way. Is that a good way to put it?
I think most employers are honest, hardworking. They are trying to put out a good product, a good service. They want to treat the employees right. And sometimes the employee who does not march to that tune or do exactly as is expected doesn't necessarily fit in. And the employer looks for a way to remove that employee from the workplace. And sometimes that involves trampling on that individual's rights. And that's where we come in to try to protect those folks.
Absolutely. Alan, thanks so much for coming in today.
Well, thanks for having me.
I think you shed a lot of light on the topic. I'm looking forward to doing this again in the future and getting more into I want to hear, and I know you can't share names of people and of companies and stuff like that, but as we do this over the next few months, I want to hear some good stories, because I know when people can relate to a story or hear something that touches them, that sounds familiar, you know, it can empower them to make a move or to call out injustice. So I'm excited to embark on this process with you.
Thank you, Mitch. And I've got some interesting stories to share.
I believe it. He is Alan Olson, employee-advocates.com, employee-advocates.com, 262-785-9606. That's 262-785-9606. Protecting employees in disputes, protecting employees for 29 years right here in Waukesha County, and focusing a team of five lawyers on employment law. Well, have a great day. Thank you so much, Alan.
Thanks, Mitch.
Absolutely. He is Alan Olson. And on the Big 920, thebig920.com, streaming nationwide and beyond by the iHeartRadio app, you've been listening to Ask the Experts.